Yeah, wasn't that excellent? Just hearing how, I thank each one of them for sharing their story, a little bit of their story there. And very personal, yet very powerful examples of how Jesus has showed up in their lives in a very real way. And it's our prayer as pastors and as a staff here that as you come into this Christmas season, that you will be willing to just admit the mess a little bit and open your heart and your mind up to Jesus. And he wants to make a difference in your life. And so I really appreciate them willing to share their stories. I'm going to share a little bit of mine because I'm Pastor Dave, and I'm a wonderful mess too. And here's a little example. You know, social media is a great place to mask things or to put out something that's quite different than what actually happened, right? So let's see if this picture comes up here. So this was us just a few weeks ago. We went down to Philly to look at the lights, okay? So we were going to take the train. This is a much lighter example than anything that was shared here. So we were going to take the train, and that's a picture on the left there of us. A lot of excitement there. You can see the anticipation in my eyes. I am not quite sure. Well, that is, those eyes also reveal. See, we were planning to be on the train an hour earlier, but didn't quite work out that way. Didn't quite go the way it was planned, and I actually lost my cool a little bit with that. As a dad, you know, you wanted to. There's one time in my life I wanted to be on time. So the train part, it was awesome. We had a lot of fun. We weren't on this train I was thinking, but we got on the train after all. We got down to the city to see the lights. Well, this is at City Hall here. We caught the end of the City Hall light show. Then we went on to Macy's. They have this tradition of doing the light show in there. Totally missed that one. Like not even within, we were like totally in the center of when it was happening both times. And on top of all that, we were going to eat at the Reading Terminal, all right? So by the time we got out of Macy's, you know what? Reading Terminal, closed, okay? So it was like one thing after the other, but we sure put some pictures out there that made it look good, right? How many selfies do you take till it's the one you actually put out there? Like, yeah, that one works. All right, let's put that out there. Like, everything went perfect, but it just didn't. The bottom line is it was just messy. And if you think about life, like every season of, it seems like every season of life has its own messes. You know, as a child, or as you're growing up a little bit and starting into school, you're trying to figure out what lunch table you're going to sit at. That can be really messy sometimes and really challenging. And what kids here, do you enjoy making a mess of your room? Are you good at that? Are any kids out there good at making a mess? All right, let's hear a little noise. I like noise. Come on. Yeah, are you happy? You good at making, I know. There's kids that I know that are good at making a mess of their room. So maybe as a child, that kind of thing. As a student, then you're supposed to get good grades. As you keep getting older, then you got to figure out you're going to go to college or not. Then in your 20s and 30s, you're supposed to figure out what you're going to do, what you're going to become. Then you get to your 40s, you're like, how'd I get here? What happened? This wasn't what I was expecting. 50s, I was hanging out with a friend this week, and he was sharing about, in his 50s, his body's starting to break down a little bit. And he's starting to lose friends more. You know, you get older and you're like, do I still have something to give? You know, can I still contribute? Am I still meaningful to those around me? It seems like every season is messy, whether it's the result of stuff we chose to do to ourselves or whether it's the result of people around us and what they do to us. You know, sometimes it can be really challenging. But see, the beauty of Christmas, the absolute beauty of Christmas is God sees us in our mess, and he acted. He acted, and he actually entered our mess. That's that first Christmas morning. And we're just going to walk through this Christmas story. Don't ever let this get old. It's a beautiful story of what God is doing. All right, so we're going to walk right through it. So in those days, Caesar Augustus, he issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Cornelius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. And you might know these guys. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths, placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for him. Now, this first Christmas morning was obviously very messy. We'll get to that in a little bit, but I am blown away by the crazy characters and the circumstances. How God uses a decree or an action of a pagan leader, a pagan guy, to orchestrate all this movement of these traveling teenagers going across country, traveling to Bethlehem. And not only that, he's fulfilling a prophecy that Micah spoke 600 years earlier. All these crazy characters and these circumstances. When I read this prophecy of Micah again this week, I literally got goosebumps thinking about what is happening when this birth takes place. Listen to this. Micah says it this way. 600 years before it actually happened, Micah says, "But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, though you are insignificant, though you are small, though you might be viewed as nothing in the world, though you are small, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth." That's Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? That's Jesus. When he shows up there, it's a complete mess. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one from ancient days, from ancient years past, the one at creation, is in a stable, in a manger, an animal food trough, is what this King of Kings and Lord of Lords is lying us. He's entirely dependent on those around him. It's incredible. It's messy. It's strange. Why would it be that way? I think one of the points is this. The God we serve, that Jesus who came, he came to identify with us, to identify with our mess. Hebrews says so that he can empathize with our weaknesses. He came to know what it was really like, what we walk through each and every day. And he came to come alongside of us. It really is something beautiful. Now, maybe I'm not sure what you do at Christmas, but typically you're getting together with family, and that can be a fun time. It is a fun time for our family. We do something with Karen's parents on Christmas, and then I'm the youngest of eight, so we typically go next Saturday and have a big old party off the holiday. So we spread it out a little bit, have some fun. I'm not sure what your family is. Sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes that can be a really challenging thing. And if you've been with us the last few weeks, you know, the 1 week we focused on Jesus' family line. Do you know his family line in Matthew 1 there is highly dysfunctional? He comes from a highly dysfunctional family line. One in particular is where it says that David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. This is highlighting a huge failure in David's life. And the huge mistake that was making or fault that happened there that destroys two families. See, again, I think part of the reason Jesus is shown to be coming from that dysfunctional family line is, again, he identifies. He can empathize with our struggles. Even if you look at the life of Jesus, he has some very interesting interactions with his mom. And you think of parent-child relationships and those challenges. He can identify. He understands. I think that's one of the beautiful things you see here when you see him entering our mess. Let's go on the story. So not only does he enter our mess, but he first announced to shepherds. All right, then there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. I think I'd be terrified too. Anyone else terrified of the dark or anything like that? Well, suddenly the lights came on, let me tell you. All right, the angels came to them and said, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. Again, you'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." All right, same story to the shepherds. It's interesting to think about. Why shepherds? Why was Jesus' birth announced first to shepherds? They were outcasts in their society. They were literally outside of town. They're physically outside the walls. Okay, social outcasts. They were the misfits of their society. They were not the elite. They were not the religious leaders. No, they were the moral outcasts. They weren't trusted at all. Their testimony was not trusted. See, they would be like the least likely people that you would think God would show up to first. But what is he saying? What is he doing? He's saying, this message is, it's good news. It's great joy for all people. See, he's saying, I am for the outcast. I am for the guys on the outsider. I am for the underdog. That's what he's saying. He's for the least likely. He's for you and me. See, if we come in here today, and I love people when they come to church maybe for the first time or they're new to it, they haven't been there for a while, and they're like, you know what? When I walk through, I'm gonna shoot up in flames or whatever, anything like that. That's exactly why Jesus came. He came for you. He loves when we approach him that way. That's who he came for. He came for the person that can admit that there's something wrong. There's something going on. John 3:16, if you were watching the Eagles earlier, I was watching them until we had to start up here. So I didn't get to the end, but I did get the updates. So sounds great. But sometimes you might see a verse there. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That's us. When he says the world, that is each and every one of us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. That's Christmas. See, that's what happened right there. He gave his son that whoever believes in him will not perish, but has eternal life. Eternal life is the highest possible quality of life we can have today, and a quality of life that'll go all right in through eternity. See, it's a life that's connected to Jesus. It's a life that is connected to our Savior. John 3:17. You might not often hear this verse, but it says this, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. See, he didn't come to tell us, you're on the naughty list. You're not going to get any gifts. He didn't come to say that. No. He said, for God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save or to rescue or to heal or to bind up. Remember we gave the example of David. And I don't know if you've ever found yourself at a place of deep failure, where you're feeling like in your heart of hearts, you know, man, you blew it. Like when I was going for that train, I blew it. I totally blew it. It was stupid. It was over being late for a train to go to Philly. Like, did it really matter in the end? No. But in the moment, I thought it mattered. I made a big stink about it. And then I had to like eat all that and be like, hey, I'm sorry. But I knew I messed it up. You know, and David was as a place of deep, deep failure too. And you might think there's no way out. But it's so cool. Later in his life, in 2 Samuel, he says this. The Lord God, David is saying this. Again, after he blew two families up. He ruined his own family in a big way. He says, God reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. Can you hear that? Think about it. You ever feel like you're in deep waters? Like, again, like deep. Yeah, you know what I mean. He rescued me from my powerful enemy and from my foes who were too strong for me. Like, you ever feel like you're so bound up, like some kind of strong man has got you down? No, not at all. See, the God we serve, who is he? He's a wonderful counselor, right? He is a wonderful counselor. You ever look for wisdom as you're walking through life? If you're trying to make decisions? Wonderful counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace, everlasting Father. Maybe you have a father that I'm very sorry if it was that way. If your father was not a great example of what a father should be. Sometimes I messed that up as a dad. But Jesus is our wonderful, everlasting Father. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. It is a beautiful thing. He first came to shepherds. He first came to you and me. He's for you. He is absolutely for you. So how should we respond? I think it's cool to look at the shepherds. We're going to jump right past that. We're going to look at the shepherds here. When the angels left and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that had happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying there in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd had said to them. But Mary treasured these things and pondered them in her heart. Now I was thinking about this. Where were these shepherds? They were out in a field, right? There's a whole bunch of them, we assume. They're out in the field. Do you think before, what did they do? They said, let's go and see. Let's go check this out. You actually hear they hurried off like last minute shoppers. I have a little bit of shopping to do yet. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of hurrying around going on these days, you know, trying to get those last gifts. Well, these shepherds, they hurried off to see Jesus. Do you think they went home first and took a shower? Do you think they stopped by to say goodbye to whoever they were saying goodbye to? I was really wondering, I wonder if anyone stayed with the sheep. Did they take the sheep with them? You know, what was that like? See, they hurried right there. They went messy. They went dirty. We have no reason to think that they cleaned themselves up or did anything to themselves first before going to see Jesus. And it's a beautiful picture because they went to see him. And when they left that experience, when they left that time with him, they returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. See, they walked away from meeting Jesus saying, it's true. It's true. He's the Savior of the world. He came for me. He loves me. He's there for me. They left in awe and in wonder. They were changed. They were changed because of their experience with him. Just as we end this Christmas, what would it look like? What would it look like for you and I to be brutally honest and take the mess in our lives? Because we're all a wonderful mess if we're just willing to be honest with it. We have some sort of mess that we're dealing with. Something around us. What would it look like if we started sweeping all this stuff and start pushing it over to the tree and just take it to Jesus and just be brutally honest with, hey, here's where I'm at. Here's where I'm at. Maybe you've never heard this incredible message of God's love for you, of his grace. He came for you. He loves you. He accepts you. He's for you. Maybe you're fearful. Maybe you're hesitant because you have fear. You know, that idea. The shepherds were fearful. What did the angels say? Don't be afraid. It was the first part of their message. Don't be afraid. Some of the favorite words of the Bible that I love is God says, I will be with you. I will be with you. Maybe you're like, hey, man, that's good for you, but that won't help me at all. Why not try? What's it hurt? Like, he loves you. He loves you. You know what's crazy? This is the birth of Jesus is the second greatest event in history. You know why? Because it leads to Easter, the greatest event of all time, where Jesus died on that cross. He died on that cross to pay the penalty of our sin so that there is nothing that has to separate us from God. It's been paid. It's been taken care of. And you know, they put him in that grave, but that grave couldn't hold him. Oh no, he burst straight out of there. And see, the promise of life is that anyone who connects, if we believe in Jesus, we connect ourselves to him, we as well, when we face death of any kind, we'll burst right out the other side and we will live. The promise is you can have hope. The promise is you can have hope. See, I challenge you. I'm willing to bet on it. You take your mess and you go to Jesus, and I guarantee you walk away a different person. Just like these testimonies that these people shared up here. You really will. He changes things. I was with a friend this week, and he's walked through some deep pain over these last few years, some loss, some incredible loss. And I was so proud of him. He'd taken some good steps, and I see that. And he's also walking alongside of another family that's having a similar experience. But it's resurfacing all this anger. And all this struggle and the angst and the pain of that. And it's hard. Like, what do you do with that? Like, real stuff. You know? And I was so proud of him. You know what he told me? He said someone encouraged him, someone challenged him to give it to Jesus, to take it to his feet and allow him to deal with it. And he's found freedom. He's found hope. What would it look like for you to take your confusion, to take your doubt, to take your struggle, to take that deep-seated hurt that you've been holding on for so long and take it to the tree, take it to Jesus, and say, help me to believe. Help me to have hope. He has a way of turning our darkness to light, turning our fear to joy. The promise is of hope. So Lord God, I thank you so much. I pray that this Christmas might be the most meaningful Christmas for each one here tonight. As we think about you entering our mess, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you're not a God far off. That you don't understand us. No, but you physically walked in our place. You came into our neighborhood to understand so you could empathize, so that you could deal with the struggle that we face. God, we need your help. Give us the courage to believe. Give us the courage to respond. Give us the courage to come and see this Christmas. Bring light, bring life into our hearts and into our minds and into our souls, into our mess this Christmas. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Father, we are so thankful that on that silent night, it wasn't exactly silent because there was a mess in that stable. You came into a messy world. And Father, you sent your Son, Lord, that we could have hope. So, Father, in each of our lives, whatever our lives may look like, may we be reminded through your Spirit what you can do in each of our lives, what you can do to each of our messes because of what took place that night. We thank you, we praise you for that gift. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.